2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Don't touch that dial because the next 25 minutes is all about Dave. It's all about Dave and this gnawing pit of anxiety that he's had in his stomach for the last several days.
Yes.
Allow me to begin. Let me set the scene. Dave and his wife blissfully fly off to Las Vegas for a few days last week to, well, none other than hit not the slots, no, the old timers concert of a popular 80s band. All is going so well. They're enjoying their 21st anniversary celebration. They're there with family, loved ones. They're dancing in the front row of REO Speedwagon. Who knew that Dave was so in love with REO? Speaking of break,
the trip.
Meanwhile, back home, his son breaks his arm. Apparently somewhere on the playground at school. And now Dave is absolutely scared and hardly sleeping at night. He's worried about the medical bills. Why in the world would you be worried about medical bills? You have insurance coverage. And by the way, what happened?
Okay, so first of all, I don't care about a broken arm, right? I mean, kids break things. I broke things. I'm not one of those parents that are like, I can't believe that my kid broke something, right? I don't care if they break something. That's just what happens. You live, you do stuff, and you get broken arms, okay? So my 11-year-old Jacob is running around on the playground. He goes down, trips over somebody, something, I don't know, a giant-footed, you know, classmate. And he goes down, and he, you know, reaches his arms out and breaks his arm. At least that's what everyone thought. You know, the school nurse brings him in. She's like, yeah, I think that's broken, buddy. So, of course, this kid hasn't broken a thing. He hasn't broken a fingernail in the 11 years of his life. But the second I get on a plane to go to a concert, this cat can't stay upright. Right?
So what happens next?
Okay, so obviously I'm out. I've got older kids. I've got a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old. So we just left the kids. They're on their own. Fend for yourself, children. So we don't leave them with a grandparent or anything. So anyway, the school tries to call emergency contact. Emergency contact, my mother, doesn't answer. Totally fine, right? But emergency contact doesn't answer. So they just start going through, you know, just calling people. Nobody is available. Nobody's answering their phone.
Aww.
So
they didn't call Aunt Deb.
You were actually fifth. You were fifth,
okay.
But you were in the middle of a show and whatever.
Aww.
So anyway, long and the short of it is they finally get grandma. Grandma picks him up. She's kind of frazzled because, you know,
sure,
little boy
arm
crying.
Is hanging there.
Yeah, his arm's hanging. The nurse thinks it's broken, so she's like, okay, we're going to the doctor, right? But she just goes to the emergency room. Now, is it overreaction to take a broken arm to the emergency room? Maybe.
Did she go to the closest ER?
No, but she went to the one that we've always gone to.
Oh, okay. The one the family knows.
It's the one we've been to a million times. Our kids were born there. I see why she went to that hospital.
She made a beeline for the family favorite hospital.
Yes.
Okay.
Went to the emergency room, and anyway, gets checked out. They do the x-ray. The doctor thinks it's broken. Do the x-ray. Oh, it's just a sprain.
Whoa.
So very anticlimactic. Here, you don't get a cast.
So it's an owie.
Yeah, it's an owie. It's a boo-boo. Well, come to find out, she calls me up, and she's like, hey, we had a little incident, broken arm, but not really. It was really just a sprain. And all of a sudden, because I'm dead inside, I don't think, how's Jacob? I think, oh, no, where did you take him? She's like, I took him to this hospital. I'm like, oh, no, that's out of network.
Oh.
Because I knew it. I knew she was going to do it because that was our hospital for a long time. Our coverage changed a little bit, and that hospital was now out of network. It is no longer covered by my insurance.
So two things come to mind here. First of all, what insurance information did you leave Grandma Barb in case one of your beautiful children got injured?
That's a great question, Debbie. I think the right answer, and I want to phrase this just properly, a big fat nothing. I left her zero information. I didn't tell her where to go, what to do, because I just...
So while you're enjoying REO Speedwagon in Las Vegas, you left Nana with Nana.
Nana. None of your business.
Oh, no.
Not going to give you all that sensitive information, like where to take children if they get hurt.
So why are you so worried about out-of-network?
Okay, so I've heard the out-of-network horror stories.
Which are what? Give me an example.
Well, for example, if you go to a doctor and your doctor is not part of your insurance plan, then the costs are astronomical. It can be 2, 3, 5 times. I don't know, because we've always gone in network. That is what I do. But, you know, I've heard these anecdotal things. Oh, yeah, it cost me thousands of dollars to do this
out of
network. And
then on top of that, what everybody thought was maybe an emergency, maybe wasn't an emergency. It was just an owie.
Yeah.
So your son ends up in the ER with what was originally thought to be a broken wrist, maybe, and then it turns out to be a sprain. Oh, he could have probably just gone to the family doctor for a lot cheaper.
Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
I'm not here.
But listen,
this is friendly to you, my friend.
This is my mom. You know, listen, I don't second guess mom. If mom said emergency room, better safe than sorry. Go ahead, go to the emergency room. Just maybe go to the emergency room in network next time.
Have you gotten the bill yet?
No, because again, we didn't give her any insurance information. They're like, all right, well, you just email us when they get home. I'm like, okay.
But you're losing sleep over this.
Yeah, I'm worried because I think this little sprain and an x-ray, which is all it is, it's not that big of a deal, right? You had somebody look at it, take an x-ray. They were there for less than an hour. How much could it possibly cost?
A lot.
There's no way this costs a lot, but I'm afraid it will cost a lot.
Right, because it was the ER.
It was the ER.
It was x-rays. And then on top of it, it really wasn't like an emergency. It's like,
tell that to the crying 11-year-old.
I don't know.
Debbie's dead inside. Hey, toughen up, son. I know your arm's hanging and you can't move it.
The good news here is a lot of people are in the same boat when stuff happens. A lot of people end up in the same boat.
Well, when somebody gets hurt, you start pushing the panic button, right?
Right. I say the good news is because you're not alone. At least you know you're not alone. The bad news is we don't really know what you're going to get stuck with because you went out of network and it turns out that it's a sprain, not really a break, and he probably could have gone to just the you know, pediatrician and this wasn't that big of a deal.
Or just wrapped him up at home. Here's an ace bandage, boy.
So let's do Dave a solid here. Let's get KSL Television's Matt Gephardt on the line straight ahead to see if he can talk you off the anxiety ledge while you wait for this bill to arrive to see if out of network means you're going to get doused with a huge ER bill for your son's little sprained owie.
Good Janovic.
Well, everyone at school thought little Jacob Noriega's arm was broken. So grandma showed up because she was the emergency contact and then whisked him away to a nearby ER for treatment. It was the family favorite hospital they've been going to for years. And in the meantime, Dave is partying. He's partying in Las Vegas. No idea that this little sprain that Jacob had is going to financially break him.
The most expensive part of my trip is going to end up being that ER visit and not the tickets to REO Speedwagon.
You're worried because it was out of network.
Yeah.
And that means that basically this particular hospital, this ER, isn't in your plan. But grandma also did not have any insurance information, so you neglected to leave anything for grams.
Yeah, that's on me. I'll take that one.
The other issue here, Matt Gephardt of KSL TV joining the conversation, is that we're not really sure, Matt and I, that this break that turned out to be a sprain qualifies for an ER visit. Matt, what's your take?
Good morning, guys. Well, I guess let's start here with what the law says, right? Which is basically that, you know, quote unquote, if a reasonable person thinks that it's an emergency, et cetera, et cetera. And anytime there's a law that uses words like layperson thinking or reasonable person, it opens the door to all kinds of issues, right? Because it's ambiguous. What grandma might have thought certainly differs from what, you know, the billing department may think. You know, if grandma had reason to think that this was a break, then maybe she's fine. And the reason she may be fine is let's go back to 2008, 2009 and Obamacare, which basically declared that there in a true emergency, there is no such thing as out of network. All emergency rooms are in network in an emergency. And the idea behind that was, look, if you're on a gurney unconscious and you happen to get taken to University of Utah, but your in-network hospital is actually IMC, it's not fair for you to be hit with these bills. And so they did away with the what they call balanced billing. They did away with it in actual emergency situations. Trouble is when it doesn't turn out to actually be an emergency, who's right and who's wrong? And I've been reporting and I've seen it go both ways, quite frankly.
I don't like that. I don't like you saying I could see it going the other way. I think it could go against you, Dave. But this is the very thing that has me afraid because, Matt, I've been in the moment, right? When you have that that kid that is crying and hyperventilating and panicking because, you know, it hurts, then as a parent, the what's the dad version of Mama Bear comes out? The Papa
Daddy
Bear? The Papa Bear comes out. You know, you're like, that's fine. I will run through a wall for you. You know, you're not exactly thinking rationally because you're like, whatever it takes, I don't care how much it costs. And until you realize it's a sprain and you're like, well, now I kind of care how much it costs.
Right. Well, and listen, it does come down to, and I've seen this cut both ways. Let me give you an example of a story that I did a few years ago. A woman had surgery on some veins, and that's the kind of thing that sometimes can lead to a stroke. It happened to a friend of hers who had the same surgery, and there had been a little blood clot, and it led to a stroke for her friend. And so she woke up in the middle of the night after this vein surgery in horrible, horrible pain. And she began to panic that she was having a stroke. Something is wrong. She was having a stroke. And so she went. Now, in the middle of the night, the only place to go is the emergency room. Everything else is closed.
Yeah.
And so they went to the emergency room. Turns out it was normal pain. And in that situation, I watched, you know, through the appeals process, the bill went on to these people. And then I've seen it go the other way, right, where I've seen literally this exact situation where somebody had initially been denied because it was a quote-unquote non-emergency, and it was in this case it was a sprained ankle, but through the appeals process was able to ultimately secure payment because, you know, again, the way the law is written is if they thought there was an emergency and thought there was this legitimate risk of bodily injury because, right, a break would be emergent. We got to get that set right now because otherwise there could be long-term consequences from such things. So even though it only turned out to be a sprain. So right. I genuinely do think that the law probably is in your favor, as long as grandma wasn't just going, oh, I want my, you know, grandson to stop crying and I feel bad for him, as long as she really thought.
Yeah. And I have a question. Did we lose Matt
by court before a jury? Yeah, please.
Sorry, you dropped out for just a second, so I thought that was my opportunity to jump in. But does anything change, Matt, because it was my mom? It was grandma versus me. Because I can tell you this, I'm the dad that's like, whatever, get over it, toughen up, right? But if it's somebody else's kid, I am much more sympathetic, I'm much more worried. And because, listen, I'll take risks with my own kid. I'm not going to take risks with your kid. Does anything change with the fact that it was grandma versus mom and dad?
The only thing that I know is what the law says, which is, does a quote-unquote lay person, and if she was the, you know, approved guardian at the time, I would not think so. She may, if this does turn into, if appeals don't work and you do have to ultimately go to court over this, I suppose it changes that she has to testify instead of you. But otherwise, no, I really wouldn't think so. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a reporter, but I wouldn't think so.
But KSL Television's Matt Gephardt of the KSL TV Investigative Unit on the line live with us now to kind of, we were hoping that between you and I, Matt, we could sort of calm Dave's fears. But at this point, he still does not have the bill for that ER visit. We don't know what the billing department is going to decide as to whether this was a true emergency. And does it qualify for out-of-network, you know, coverage? I mean, and if not, then what? Is it just this huge bill that he starts to negotiate and we're, you know, on the air again together? I've got about 30 seconds left, by the way. Your turn to talk.
Yeah, I would quickly say I think this is really a snapshot of one of the problems with the medical system and the billing system in this country, which is you have people who are not trained doctors forced to make decisions about whether or not something is an emergency, and they just don't know. And sometimes that can lead to medical insurance nightmares.
Yeah.
Matt Gephardt, thank you so much for joining me. And Debbie was a part of the conversation, too. But it was mostly me because, yeah, I'm a little nervous about what that bill is going to look like.
And I think Matt brings up a good point. It is a mystery for a lot of families. You end up in the ER department. Hopefully it's going to be ruled that it's an emergency in favor, even though this turns out to be an itty-bitty wrist sprain that your son succumbed to. But in the meantime, there's a whole lot of different issues that can play into this, Dave. I mean, you just don't know what that bill is going to say until you get it in the mail. And then after that, that's when Matt and I jump back on the line with you again, and we help you negotiate down the price in case they douse you.
It is interesting that the law changed back with Obamacare that essentially any emergency visit is in-network. Whether it is or not, it's considered in-network.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.